Iran's parliament has just approved a bill to suspend all cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency, ending inspections over recent airstrikes, and also deepening nuclear opacity. At the same time, Tehran is quietly extending its reach across Africa via proxy militias, strategic investments, and covert statecraft. And in South Africa, the controversial Islamic State of Africa political party has lodged, as we know, a registration bid, raising urgent questions about extremist influence and institutional responses. Well, with me to discuss this is Willem Els, who is a senior training coordinator in that program at the ISS, the Institute for Security Studies. Willem, thanks so much for joining me on the line. If I can start with the registration of Islamic State of Africa. The last time we spoke with you, we didn't have an answer from the international or from the election commission as to whether or not they had registered and what the status quo was. Do we have any information now?
Good afternoon to you. Yeah, when we spoke last time, you know, not a lot of information was available. But in the meantime, there was a period where the public could respond, and also where they could submit any complaints or reservations on that. And that period has now lapsed. But we have still not seen any feedback from the IEC as yet.
Do we know if this party, the Islamic State of Africa, is in any way connected to Iran or being funded by Iran?
Well, it is not open as we speak. But if you look at the history of Mr. Huma and his cell that was arrested in the meantime, the case was botched by the police or the Hawks as well as the NPA, and the case was thrown out of court. But that doesn't mean that some of those things did not happen. So they can always reopen a case and reinvestigate the case. But what we saw back then that they were not as much supporters of Iran, because if you can remember, there was an attack on a Shia mosque, so-called Ottawa Mosque down in Durban, and that is one of the only Shia mosques there, and Mr. Huma was in the court case. Him and his cell was connected to that. So they are not from Iran. They might just relate to ISIS, that is your Sunni dominated organization.
Willem, Iran has moved to cut ties with the International Atomic Energy Agency. How will this shift shape its ability to operate through proxies in Africa?
Well, you know, Iran has got a history where they actually signed the agreement with the IAEA, and they allowed their inspectors under very strict conditions in Iran to do observations and to do inspections. But we can see over the past 30 years or so that they were in the business of trying to pull the wool over the eyes of these inspectors. They were always negotiating something else. They always maintained that they had peaceful means with their enrichment. But we also know that with the enrichment, you know, if you use it for peaceful purposes, your enrichment is way below that of 20%. Mm-hmm. And we see that they profess to have 20% and even 60% enriched uranium.
We are seeing IRGC-backed militias in Sudan, Mali, and the Horn of Africa. Is Tehran pursuing a coordinated African strategy, or is it more opportunist?
I think at the moment it's a bit opportunist, but they were dealt a very big blow with especially Assad fleeing Syria and with his proxies then being driven out there and the now more moderate but more your Sunni affiliated factions that actually took control there. We also see that Hezbollah has also severely been weakened by the strategy and the assault by the Americans and the Israelis. Hamas is also on his knees. The only one that is still a bit fighting back is the Houthis in Yemen. But also what we see there, you know, Hyomin is a far kilometers from Africa. So it will be very easy for them to export whatever they do to the Horn of Africa. And should Iran then try to establish a footprint in Africa, it will not be that difficult for them. But at the other hand, you know, they declared that in the first place, America is a big Satan and Israel is a little Satan. And that is their objective, to annihilate them.
What is Iran offering and demanding in return of African states in exchange for partnership? I mean, are we talking arms? Are we talking economic deals, ideological support?
I think it is both a mixture of maybe arms, maybe exporting their rocket technology where they are currently quite advanced in. But when it comes to financial support, you know, they were dealt a severe blow by the 12-day war. Or, you know, their banks have also been compromised, their cryptocurrency has been seized. And also sanctions, it seems to me, are not going to be lifted in the short term. So I doubt whether they will have a huge monetary flow in order to assist Africa in that. So we think it will be more technological as well as ideological.
And are African governments pushing back? Are they co-opting or are they hedging their bets with both Iran and Western powers?
Well, Africa is in the moment in quite a big transition period where you see some especially the countries that suffered the coup d'etats in the Sahel, they are quite unstable. They broke away from ECOWAS. There's a loss of instability, and we see that the epicenter of terrorism in terms of your terrorism watch index have shifted now from the Middle East to the Sahel, and more specifically to Burkina Faso. So there they might not have a footprint. They might not have a leeway to get in because those guys are in battle with especially Al Qaeda and the ISIS forces there. But what we see is in Sudan, that is completely very unstable. There might be a foothold for them there. And also Somalia, that is extremely a failed state and very unstable at the moment. They might be able to actually infiltrate there and create the threshold.
Thank you, Willem. I mean, what it does show us is that, for now at least, the war between Israel and Iran is seemingly over. But we need to be very vigilant about Iran's expansion in Africa and what that could mean, not only to Africa, but particularly to us here in South Africa. That's Willem Els, a senior training coordinator in that program with the ISS, the Institute for Security Studies.